Welcome to Hail Varsity Radio, the voice of Husker Nation. Insight, opinion, expertise, with the biggest and best names talking Nebraska across the state. Join the show on Twitter at Hail Varsity and at Schmitz underscore radio. Call in at 402-466-ESPN or 1-800-825-5865. Here's Chris Schmitz.
Great to have you on Monday. It's Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, 80s action star Colton Stone, and you. Lots to get to as, well, football season's over till the spring, right? So just don't hold your breath, but it'll be here soon. We hope. Not a great Super Bowl, or depending if you're a defensive nut, and that's okay. You loved it. We'll spend some time on the Pats over the Rams. We'll get into that. We'll talk some recruiting. Stephen Parker is off to Lawrence. I just said that. Yes, Nebraska lost a pass rusher recruit to the University of Kansas. Colton, you made a very great correction about 5.5 minutes ago when I'm screaming. I'm not screaming. I'm just wondering out loud down the hallways. And you said what?
You lost him to Kansas, but you really lost him to Les Miles.
Okay, so that's not okay if you're a Nebraska fan, but hey, best wishes to Parker. Seems like a good kid. And Greg Smith's going to be with us at 5:25 to go over Junior Day. Signing day is Wednesday. We'll have a signing day special 4 to 6 down at the Hale Varsity offices, getting you ready. If there's no signage, or if there is somebody that inks their name to complete the 2019 class. Jay Moore is going to join us in 15 minutes. Black shirt Husker NFLer, Jay Moore, and roommate. Huh? Roommate of one Zach Taylor. And kudos to Zach Taylor. Announced officially a little bit earlier today that he is now the new head coach of the Cincinnati Bengals. No longer will we call them the Bungles on this show. Now that Zach Taylor is in charge. Happy for him. Zach's a great dude. Really talented young coach. And he is he's a Husker, man. He's a Husker wearing that headset. And he has got head coach on his Bengals gear. So we'll run Zach Taylor down at some point here in the near future. Charlie McBride, Mondays with Charlie, Mr. Blackshirt. Coach McBride and Coach Belichick go back quite a ways. And I'm anxious to get Charlie's thoughts on last night's defensive struggle, 13-3. What a ball game by New England. I felt bad for Sue. You feel great for Rex Burkhead. And Zach Taylor's got to kind of put last night behind him and move forward as the head man in Cincinnati. Can join us, always welcome to dial us up, 466-3776, 466-3776, toll-free 800-825-5865, where you can hear us along the Hail Varsity Network, and get us an email, chris@hailvarsity.com. Always tweet at us. Welcome to do that. Give us a follow at Schmidt underscore radio at Two Birds, One Stone. So the Super Bowl last night was, it looks lackluster because of the scoring, because of just how difficult it was to get anything going whatsoever at all by either offense, by both teams. It was just a grind, just a flat-out grind by either offense. Tom Brady wasn't great. Jared Goff was a mess. And the Rams' whole key this year is, can they do anything in the run game? I mean, the offense kind of revolved around Todd Gurley running the football and catching the football. And they can say he's healthy. He doesn't look the same. And it's an issue. It was an issue, and New England was just better. Was better prepared, well coached. New England's not the all-star team. They've got Brady, yes. But L.A., man, was, they were built for a title this year with all the high-priced, high-level, all-pro, borderline Hall of Famer guys. And I think you can say Tlaib is probably a Hall of Famer. You can say Sue's a Hall of Famer. You can say Donald's a Hall of Famer. I mean, it's nuts. It's absolutely nuts when you look at how just little and small Los Angeles looked, and that was all Belichick putting his guys in position to win. So we'll get to your calls here in 2 seconds. Let's start off and get Brian on the horn. Brian, welcome into Hail Varsity. Go ahead. Good. You want to turn him up for me, Colton? Brian, are you there? Okay, what you're going to need to do is put him on hold. Brian, hang on the line. Try the bottom row, I guess. I don't know. You there, Brian?
Yep.
All right, go ahead.
I'm happy for Rex. Hate the Deflatriots. And the commercial sucked. Halftime sucked. I don't know what else to say about it.
Well, this phone call sucked, and it's not your fault. We have some technical difficulties. Appreciate you chiming in. So that was Brian in a nutshell saying yesterday sucked except for Rex. And I think many of you are taking it that way. And I get it. I totally get it because it is New England. You can still snarl at New England and what they're about. Let's go to Bob. Bob, thanks for hanging on. Go ahead.
Hey, Chris.
What's going on, man?
Well, I'm happy that New England won yesterday. I'll tell you why. For one thing, I think Ndamukong Suh is a dirty player. At least he has been in the pros. I'm glad he didn't win. Secondly, I'll be 64 on the 17th of this month, and I grew up with sports where there was no diamond, there was no free agency, there was no salary cap. And in my day growing up, there were dynasties all over the place. And when you got a classy guy like Tom Brady, who, in my opinion, is a very good spokesman for the game, I'm not at all sad that somebody with that kind of a track record for being the class act that he is, I don't mind at all that his teams win. In fact, I like the predictability and the consistency of having a team that can prove even in prove to society that even with salary cap and with free agency added in, that there are still teams that with coaching and all that can still become a dynasty in spite of the current against these kind of things.
They always find a way, Bob. Appreciate you tuning in, my man. Thanks for the phone call. And yeah, you had a lot of dynasties back in the day with the Yankees and with, who else am I missing? The Steelers. New England's just smarter than you. It's all there is to it. They just find guys that are smart football players that are good enough to compete, and they have a chip on their shoulder. They're motivated. Mm-hmm. They play together, and they win. And they're put in position to succeed better than most. It's what it is. It's absolutely what it is. Let's go back to what Bob said about Sue being dirty. Do you still look at Ndamukong Suh as being dirty? I don't. Does he have a rep for that when he was in Detroit? Yeah. Did he maybe murder a quarterback or two too many when he was with Miami? Maybe. But the thing that I want to spend time on here before we get to Jay Moore is what was out on social media last night and into today. All right. And you have a writer that was on Twitter and filmed Sue running off the field. Mm-hmm. And the national writer said, you know, paraphrasing here, and I'm going to try and pull the tweet up here. The Wi-Fi is money today. pretty much said, you know, what the hell, dude? That's classless to run off the field. It's inexcusable. I mean, just go down the list of
adjectives.
Adjectives calling Sue out for... Yeah. For being weak, right? For Jeff Perlman. And Perlman's, you know, pretty well-known author. Perlman's been with ESPN. I still think he's with ESPN. He's a New York Times bestseller. So Perlman was like, not amazing sportsmanship from Ndamukong Suh. I get losing sucks, but ... And Grant Wistrom came to the defense of Suh, and he's like, look, man, in that moment when you lose a game that you put your heart and soul into, don't judge the guy. Sue, win or lose, to my memory, okay, is always just hauling ass off the field. Mm-hmm. Win or lose. I saw him do that when I covered him at Nebraska. They beat Oklahoma 7-3. He's a shot to the locker room. They lose to Texas Tech. Same guy. Mm-hmm. And I felt sad for Sue, that final kneel down where he takes a step forward on the line, unbuckles his chin strap, and just takes off. He's a quiet guy. Mm-hmm. He has got lots of rage. He has gifts that no one in this game can match when he's on. Okay? And he's already been in the league 9 years. He blink and he's gone.
Yeah.
So I felt bad for him because he kind of put his heart and soul into this postseason. Didn't have a bad game, didn't have a great game.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't have the game he had in the NFC Championship, didn't have the game he had against Dallas.
Mm-hmm.
So will he get another crack at it? He's a free agent. He'll have a chance to go do that. The Rams were kind of an unknown. It's not quite KD joining Golden State like Sue going to Los Angeles.
Yeah.
I mean, the Rams got bounced last year by Philly, but they look to be up and coming. And really, Los Angeles with Bum Phillips, not Bum, but Wade, Bum's son, made a lot of hired gun acquisitions this year with Talib, with Peters, with Sue.
Mm-hmm.
And on top of the fact you have Donald, right? So are you going to pay Sue? Yeah, you'll offer him probably at a discount. He's got to ask himself if he likes what they've got and can they put a run together? Is he going to go chase money over a ring? I don't think he was ring chasing with Los Angeles. It's quite honestly a better spot than Miami.
Yeah.
Okay. So I don't know what he's going to do. But I felt bad for him. I thought he played well. I loved watching him. Devlin's the fullback for New England who always just murders people. And Sue, I think the second or third play of the game, crushed that dude. He's just a freak to watch. So I'm not going to get up in arms about Ndamukong Suh running off the field because it's what he has been. It's what he does. And it's a little different. Like, post-game handshakes and what's up, you know, coaches are supposed to do that. Players will congregate and say what's up. Guys that really are wired differently, and you may have been this kid, or you know the kid that cried after they lost or just didn't talk, right? That's how competitive they are. And as much as you want to crucify him for being overly competitive, that's the dude you want on your team.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Because they put their soul into it, and you need that. So I'm not going to crush Sue for leaving. Tom Brady walked off last year. Tom Brady walked off last year after they lost to Philly. He didn't kick it with with anybody from Philly. Just consider the moment. Sue showed up for his post-game press conference, had this distant look, kind of like Dexter, if you ever watched that series. I kid. But he just wasn't there. He's just like, my God, it's hitting him like a ton of bricks. He's trying to process through losing the game. So I'm not going to crush Sue. The problem I have is, like, you ever watch the Bad Boys 30 for 30? Detroit Pistons.
Oh, yeah.
They won back-to-back championships, and they were phenomenal. Great team. But when they got dethroned by Jordan and the Bulls, they walked off before the game was done. That you can't do. I will raise hell forever about walking off before the game is done. You line up and shake hands in hockey. You really don't even line up and shake hands in baseball anymore. Basketball, people will say props, and the vanquished will hug the winner. But in football, it's different. And it was Psychoville down there just by the amount of cameras and recorders and audio and reporters around Brady. It was nuts for the post game. That was uncomfortable to watch just because the everybody converged on Tom. It was insane. So I'm not gonna rock Sue here for running off. It's what he is, and I don't think he's being a poor sport.
Well, I mean, like, part of it too is this could happen in week three for any guy, and it could happen in the Super Bowl. I mean, it's just one of those that it's a lot of emotion, and it's mm-hmm. whether you want to, you know, interact with people that are celebrating while you're not.
How many times this week have we heard Sue's introverted?
All week.
I mean, he's just kind of a quiet killer, right?
Yeah, and then you have, I remember the whole issue with Cam Newton when they lost. Well, the other part of his press conference is they literally put a guy that was loud and talking about how they were celebrating next to the guy that just lost blamed for
Cam
it.
Cam couldn't hear. Here's the thing, though. I'll say this. The difference between, like, Sue and Cam is, like, Sue's been consistent. When things are great, Cam's out in front of the camera and things are gold. Cam's a front runner, okay? He's great. He's talented. He's awesome.
But when they lose, it's the opposite.
When they lose, he's a child, okay?
No, I agree with that.
I mean, you just got to be able to handle yourself better. So I'm not going to throw stones at Sue for running off the field. He probably went and destroyed a shower or a few toilets with his helmet. I mean, can you see the rage he plays with on the field? There's got to be an outlet for that, and he wanted to be behind closed doors. Mm-hmm. And he's just trying to handle his emotions there. So I have no problem with Sue running off. I didn't kill Brady last year for running off because of the moment. Mm-hmm. Where you lose the biggest thing you've been achieving or striving for your whole career. Jay Moore's coming up. We'll get his take on Sue and Zach Taylor, now with the Cincinnati Bengals. Hail Varsity continues.
And now, back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Back with you, Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. The day after the Super Bowl, we bring in Black Shirt Husker NFLer Jay Moore at JMoore44. Jay Bird, before we get into the Super Bowl and Sue and, of course, Rexy getting his ring, have you got a just bucket full of Cincinnati Bengals gear yet?
I don't. I saw they just made it official, and I haven't yet. I can't imagine there's a whole lot of Bengals stuff around here.
Not yet, right?
Yeah, there's probably gonna be a good amount here, and maybe in Norman, Oklahoma. No, that's awesome. Awesome news. Kind of knew it was happening, you know. Mm. But happy for Zach, and I'll definitely, you know, hopefully this is kind of my idea, being kind of more economical, is that I'd just go, you know, visit Zach, and then I'd get hooked up in the equipment room and, you know, not have to pay for it myself. So that's kind of my plan eventually. We'll see if it works out or not.
There you go. There you go. Jay Moore, golf trip to Cincinnati, football weekend. Well,
right.
Zach Taylor is officially the head man in Cincinnati, press conference tomorrow. And you're so close with him. And I want to start there before we hit Super Bowl. But what sticks out to you about Zach, the person, the teammate, and now the coach? Because 10 years ago, I mean, the dude's grinding away from, you know, a spot in Tampa to the CFL for a year, and then to working for his soon-to-be, you know, his future father-in-law, Coach Sherman, down at A&M, and the stops at Miami, the University of Cincinnati, and, of course, working his way up from an assistant receivers coach with the Rams to be, you know, McVay's right-hand guy. I mean, Zach's had a great last decade, and he's the best dude, but you can put some perspective on it living with him like you did in college.
Yeah, I mean, like I told other people, I mean, he's just he's Zach. I mean, he's as good of a football coach, and how much knowledge he has in the game, he's a better you know, he's a better person, he's a better son, you know, husband, father, he's just a good dude. That's about as simple as I can put it. For as good as a football player he was at, you know, Nebraska, he never took himself too seriously. Speaking with Tom Chattel last week, and he was kind of asking me about Zach, and I go, I guess, you know, the best way to put it, I mean, here we have the Big 12 Offensive Player of the Year, and, you know, most guys, and maybe in his situation, it'd be like, you know what, I can't wait to go play in the league. I'm going to do this in the league. I'm going to do that in the league. And, like, Zach didn't even, like, he didn't even talk about it. You know, never came up. He just showed up and did his job and did it really, really well. So he was never full of himself. He's one of the most humble human beings you'll ever meet. And, you know, he's going to be a great football coach. He really is. I mean, he's already been a great football coach. He's going to be a great head coach. It's pretty crazy that, you know, Cincinnati has one of the longest tenured, you know, football coaches. And now, you know, my former college roommate's now running the show in Cincinnati, and I'm so happy for him. He deserves everything he gets. I'm happy for his family. Another opportunity for them to move, but that's just kind of the coaching world. But hopefully they're in Cincinnati for, you know, longer than Marvin Lewis was. That's what I hope for them. Hopefully they can get him over the edge and in the AFC East they're in the AFC AFC North. And kind of, you know, they're always tough to hang with the Steelers and everything like that. But hopefully he's able to get them over the edge and get some playoff wins and get that thing going in the right direction.
Jay Moore's with us, Hail Varsity Radio. Jay, let's spend some time on the Super Bowl. And what game were you expecting, and what was your takeaway from last night?
I thought the game was great. Obviously, being a defensive guy myself, I thought – kind of the cat and mouse, you know, the grind. I mean, the game was a grind. In a game like that, every possession is so important. And when you have two really, really good defenses kind of go about it in their own separate way, it was just fun to see the X's and O's and the chess match going between Wade Phillips and Brian Flores and with the offensive coordinators and trying to figure it out. Both quarterbacks, you know, both offenses obviously didn't perform well. Brady got a couple more opportunities there in the game as Brady. I mean, his what are you going to expect when he's in his ninth Super Bowl? He's comfortable in these situations. Where Goff is his first one, obviously he looked frazzled at times. But I thought it was a great game. I really did. I thought the Rams are going to close it out there when they had the ball late, and you know the Patriots again brought pressure and got into Goff's face early. He kind of just chucked it up, and the guy was able to get the pick there inside the five. But that's where he had to go with the ball. That's a smart play right there. But unfortunately, the receiver just wasn't ready for it. I can't remember if it was Woods or if it was Cook or whoever it might have been. But
might have been Cook.
It was the tip of the cap to the Patriots game plan. I mean, they did a really good job disguising things. They are showing, you know, they'd always had like five to six guys line of scrimmage. Sometimes they'd bring all five. Sometimes they'd bring six, four, three, and you know, kind of Goff. He never looked comfortable back there once. Coverage is great. Actually, coverage, you know, for the most part on both sides of the ball were really good, except that Edelman was able to break free a few times in the game, and honestly, that was probably the deciding factor there, and they were able to run the ball a little bit too for the Patriots, where the Rams really couldn't get anything going, and Gurley's you know, was banged up, and they tried to get C.J. Anderson going, and he was able to do some things. But overall, I thought it was a great game, lowest scoring Super Bowl ever, but I was happy with it. That was fun. It was fun to watch and fun to see, you know, kind of the defenses go at it for four quarters.
What's your take on Sue? I thought he was getting a lot of attention. I thought he made some splash plays, but his final stat line wasn't great, and that's going to happen. It's more about, you know, how many folks you're drawing a lot of times on the defensive line. What's your take on Sue going off the field and not shaking hands? That's kind of been brought up by some national media members today.
Yeah, well, here's the thing. Sue's done that from day one. He's done that when he's at Nebraska. Go back and look at his tape or end of game films. He is the first one off the field. Whether it was a win or a loss, he's always done that. So they can't all be the first one to stand up for him and say that's kind of his deal. I mean, they could go back all this year and his whole career, I guarantee you, in a win or a loss, he was the first one running off the field. He's just always done that. That's just what he's done. I was trying to watch him, and obviously Aaron Donald do their business, and them two are such great players, and they had great schemes and game plans against them. I mean, look, Donald was getting double teamed quite a bit, and they're whamming Sue. Wham's the type of block, and you know, kind of let him get free, and then you kind of get him with a fullback or a guard in that situation, or a tight end, and they were mixing it all up to give him, you know, kind of keep him slow down a little bit. But you know, when it comes down to you can't stop the run, you know, it kind of is on the D line, and not like that. You know, they just weren't able to make the plays that they needed to do. And overall, I don't think you asked Sue if he played great. He's like, no. Did he play bad? No. I'm sure he would want to make more plays, and he made some good plays, especially when they're going through a little jet motion plays with 84. His name's leaving me. But, overall, when you hold New England Patriots to 13 points, you know, I don't care what your individual stat line, you played really, really good as defense. I mean, you can say probably the greatest quarterback in all of NFL history in that offense at 13 points. And overall, the defense did their job. It's just the offense didn't hold up the end of their bargain.
Tough one to watch if you're a Sioux fan or a Zach Taylor fan, but let's flip it around. And Rex Burkhead not only is getting a championship ring, but he was pretty instrumental with how they use him. And I think a couple of adjustments happened. A, Belichick was messing with Goff. He'd send in two plays. And when the clock stopped at 15 seconds, the play clock, that's when the communication stops.
Mm-hmm.
Then New England would set their defense and Goff would have to think too. They went with Burkhead in a bigger package, so to speak, with the offensive line, more Gronk, fullback, and that's where they went. It was a different personnel grouping, and man, that's the hoodie to a T, isn't it? When it comes to little details, how it can manipulate a defense like the Rams.
Oh yeah, I mean you give Belichick 2 weeks to prepare. Good luck. I think you've heard, whether it was Romo or other guys. Mm-hmm. The color analysts, former players calling their games is, they're able to change so much from week to week. You know, 1 week they're this, and 1 week they're that. You know, there's never, yeah, they kind of run a 3-4 scheme, but they can change so much what they kind of do schematically week to week. Because he gets smart, very, very smart, minded football players that understand the game and the X's and O's really, really well. So, not surprised that he was doing that at all. Because that's all you kind of heard about was when Goff would get the plays and the communication that McVay was talking to him about what he was seeing up to that 15 seconds. Well, that's just perfect. That's just perfect planning by Belichick to have them check out of certain things after the 15 second time, the time clock would go off and make a move and check out of stuff. So you give that team 2 weeks, man. That's just. They're too smart. I can't even say that they're too talented. I don't think they're the most talented team in the NFL by any means, but they're just too smart. And that's their knowledge of the game, their football IQ is honestly, that's probably the difference in the 10 points on this football game.
I think you nailed it. I mean, they're just they've got good players, but more importantly, they got guys that'll go do their job schematically.
Mm-hmm.
They're put in position to succeed and. That's where my respect level's at a pretty high level for New England. Jay, got about a minute left. I got to ask you what you did food-wise for the Super Bowl. It was nice out. I went and mooched some smoked wings from Uncle Nate, and they were awesome.
Yeah, we watched the first half of my mom and dad's house in Omaha. So they had some smoked brisket and some smoked chicken,
ooh,
which was really, really good. But they also had some crock pot of queso dip, and I'm almost certain I ate the whole crock pot of that queso dip. It was one of those where it kind of went on at noon, you just snacked on it all day.
Mm.
I'm pretty sure I ate that whole crock pot by myself. So needless to say, I was in the gym working that off this morning. So, but overall, it was fun to hang around with family and watch the game.
That's awesome. Jay Moore crushing a crock pot full of queso. And we're all Cincinnati Bengal fans today with your roommate and friend, Zach Taylor. Jay, have a good rest of your day, man. Thanks for a few minutes.
Yeah, you got it, Smitty.
Gotta love Jay Moore. And hearing from Bird, we'll spend some more time on the Super Bowl. We'll talk Zach Taylor. Open phone still 5-466-3776.
And we're back.
Fellas, you think we could listen to the radio?
On Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Yes! That's awesome!
Back with you, it's Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Plenty of topics to get into. Zach Taylor to Cincinnati. Why he'll succeed in Cincy. The Super Bowl. You love it, you hate it, or you just kind of blah with it. We'll spend some time, too, talking about what didn't happen for Nebraska recruiting-wise. 466-3776, 800-825-5865. Can find us on Twitter. Give us a follow at Schmidt underscore radio, at Two Birds, One Stone is where you can get a hold of Colton. And we got Greg Smith coming up here in a little less than 40 minutes or so. And let's start with Nebraska recruiting real quick. And Greg will spend some more time on it coming up. But Nebraska right now has missed. I would say missed, but they've not been able to get what they want. They want an outside linebacker. They want a dude, right? They want a guy that can get after the quarterback and help this defense. That guy was supposed to be Stephen Parker. He ended up committing to Kansas earlier today. Or as Colton 1,000% accurately put it, he committed to Les Miles. We'll get Greg Smith's take on it. So that isn't good when you lose a kid from the Dallas area. Watched Parker's film, and he's not as tall as Randy Gregory, okay? And I'm not saying he's Randy Gregory. I'm saying body type-wise. He's long and lanky and long arms and just freaking athlete that is just strong enough to overpower kids at the high school level and get through and then chase the quarterback down. Change of direction, running down from behind. I mean, that's where things looked up if you're a Nebraska fan. And right now you feel like you want more bodies as a program that has pass rushers. Mm-hmm. It feels like in short supply. But I don't know that. I don't know that Nebraska doesn't have guys off the edge that can make a difference. Caleb Tanner's a big-time guy they got last year out of Georgia, and he saw a little bit of time this year. But I think the comfort, if you're a Nebraska fan, is going to come from strength and conditioning and development. Mm-hmm. You want more people to put into that cupboard as pass rushers. Do you want Neil Smiths? Do you want Broderick Thomas? Do you want Randy Gregory? Do you want Thomas? Do you want Wistrom? Do you want Bad Mother Rucker? Do you want Kelsey? Do you want Carricker? Do you want Jay Moore? Yes. But a lot of those dudes, Dwayne Harris, forgive me, Dante Jones, do you want guys like that? Those dudes we just named, aside from Randy Gregory, were developed. They were good, but they put weight on, and then they screamed off the edge. It's going to come down to coaching and development for the pass rushers. And once you get going, right now, Nebraska doesn't have proof. Okay, they don't have proof about being able to get a pass rusher and thrive with a guy. They did it Central Florida in Shaquem. Mm-hmm. He's awesome. He's still in the league. He's just a flat-out difference-maker player that was a safety. They put an outside linebacker, and he was a freak show off the edge and was great. Well, that's Nebraska's not Central Florida, and you got to kind of set your own reputation right now. And Les Miles has had a reputation for putting guys defensively into the NFL, and he's found a way to put pass rushers into the NFL. Like the great LSU pass rushers are escaping me at the moment, but they've been drafted high, okay? Mm-hmm. And it's Big 12. It's wide open. It's just go get the sacks and the splash plays. Yep. It's not as rugged as the Big Ten. But I like the body types Nebraska's going after. And it's too bad that Nebraska couldn't get this product out of Texas. Nebraska's got to do better in Texas, and they want to do better in Texas. They're going to try. We'll see. But Greg Smith will have thoughts on Junior Day. Nebraska can just kind of go back to work when it comes to pass rushers and getting that. There are guys on campus that are here to do that. They are highly touted guys to do that. It's just going to take some time when it comes to strength and conditioning. It can't be like last year where there was no pass rush, right? I mean, it needs to be better, and you think it will be.
Well, I'm curious to see, too, like who in certain positions may get moved, may in spring ball. Maybe they try to see, you know, hey, you've played inside linebacker, let's see if you can play outside. Hey, you've played defensive end, but you've dropped some weight. Can you play outside and off the line?
You don't have to be your prototypical outside linebacker, right? I mean, give me a guy like Colin Miller, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Colin's a guy that had a really good Colorado game. He's an inside backer, but he's played both.
Right.
See a guy that can come in off the edge. Caleb Tanner's a guy. You still have Alex Davis, right? I mean, he's all off the bus team.
Mm-hmm.
Alex Davis, what's going to happen with him? You lost Guy Thomas, who looked the part as well from a long, quick twitch type Javon Kearse body type, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, just not the size, but the speed off the edge.
Right.
So Nebraska's got guys. They can manufacture things. They got to get bigger and stronger against the run. They admit that on the line of scrimmage. So, you know, I'm not trying to sugarcoat this or put lipstick on anything. I think it'll be okay. It's just going to be about development, some of the bodies you have on the roster. And Nebraska had to, I mean, think about some of the guys that they've found ways to get creative with over the past years. I mean, Levante David, DeMario Williams, kind of smaller tweener guys they were able to use in some blitz packages. I know different coaching staff, but, I mean, you can always find athletes at Nebraska. This isn't good that you lose a guy to Kansas. This isn't good that you lose a kid from Pittsburgh, Kansas, down to TCU. But you know what? Nebraska's not panicking. They cleaned up and did exceptionally well with the early signing period. There's still spots. And they're not going to just hand out scholarships to hand out scholarships. Maybe you get a grad transfer. Maybe you get a JUCO. There's time. Plenty of time between Wednesday and then you're going to have roster attrition at a lot of places in college football after spring ball.
Does it feel weird? It does a little bit to me because I know I told you, like, oh, I kind of forgot there was a signing date. Does it feel weird that, like, they aren't going to sign that many guys because they've pretty much done all the signing already?
It's not weird. I think they did an incredible job. The staff did a great job of identifying, recruiting hard, and they're setting themselves up for the future. I mean, they're all in with the junior day. Greg's going to talk about coming up here. Nebraska's done an amazing job of highlighting what they want. They got the big offensive tackle out of Lawrence Cochran that they're really targeting. There's also some speed guys that they want, some defensive hybrid guys out of St. Louis, Kenny Wilhite-Town, that they're going to work hard on. So maybe they don't get a guy for 2019, but maybe they just destroy it in a good way for 2020. I mean, that's where they've shifted. They've done well. There's still four spots left. You can still get grad transfers. You can still look JUCOs. What do you want to gamble on is the point. And if there's nobody on the board out there, then just don't risk it.
He's in his 30s, but sounds like he was born with a stogie in one hand and a brew in the other.
Now, say my name.
It's Schmitty on Hail Varsity Radio.
I got the body of a taut preteen Swedish boy.
Thank you, Kramer. Welcome back. Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. 10 minutes away from Mr. Blackshirt Charlie McBride. Mondays with Charlie J. Moore was incredible about a half hour ago, as Jay Bird talked quite a bit about his roommate and his buddy Zach Taylor, his former roommate, Zach Taylor, as he is off to Cincinnati. Got an email from Don. Don asks Chris at HailVarsity.com if Bengals fans should be worried about Zach taking over because of how Goff performed last night.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, okay, it wasn't the best. You know what I took away from Goff last night? Goff was made to think. Was made to think on his feet, was made to think on the move versus settling in and knowing where he wanted to go with the football, because what New England showed him wasn't what New England was doing.
Mm-hmm.
Think about the prep that happened with Belichick and his staff. Okay, when they're running this play, or they give you this look, we're going to run this play out there, and then we're going to switch up at the 15-second mark on the play clock because they have no eyes and ears to communicate with the quarterback. So that's why Goff, I mean, New England's defense played awesome. They stopped the run. But Goff was in a constant state of just confusion.
Yeah.
I mean, there's nothing he could do. The reason Goff is not being crucified as a bust anymore, as he was after year one with Jeff Fisher, is because of McVay and Zach. And Zach is, you look at Zach's history with working with quarterbacks, and they have had career years under him. Even Tannehill. And he goes back a lot of years with Tannehill because of the A&M and Miami experiences together. But what I took away last night is, as bad as the possessions were for Los Angeles, you had some guys not make plays, first of all. You have a either dinged or second-guessing running back.
Mm-hmm.
And every time they go to that stupid Windows thing with the pen, Zach was very calm and upbeat and positive. Zach's body language was really great last night with Goff. Even as hairy as it got, it was still really good, the teaching side of it. So I think a franchise that has had Marvin Lewis there for 15 years and they finally move on, a notoriously cheap franchise, I think you're going to be okay. I mean, you got a yes from a guy that could have waited another year and taken a better job. But he knows Cincinnati, was there under Tuberville as a coordinator. I think he can win. And from a timing standpoint, what do you got? I mean, Cincinnati's right there. Cleveland's hot and up and coming with Baker, okay? And then you have Pittsburgh, right? Pittsburgh's almost done. I mean, they're as one teammate said, we're the Kardashians of the NFL. And you could be losing Le'Veon. Big Ben's pushing 35. And Brown is not going to do it for you anymore.
Yeah.
So the time might be right now to go to Cincinnati with the flux of that division. I'm missing the fourth team in there. Cleveland, Cincy, Pittsburgh.
Baltimore.
Well, Baltimore's money. They're really good, and Harbaugh's still there. Coach McBride, get his thoughts on Belichick, Zach Taylor, and recruiting pass rushers. Hail Varsity continues.
Welcome to Hail Varsity Radio, the voice of Husker Nation. Insight, opinion, expertise, with the biggest and best names talking Nebraska across the state. Join the show on Twitter at Hail Varsity and at Schmitz underscore radio. Call in at 402-466-ESPN or 1-800-825-5865. Here's Chris Schmitz.
Great to have you in. It's Hour 2 at Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, Colton Stone, and you. Hope you do it all right. Hope you had a marvelous Super Bowl. Maybe you thought the game was. Maybe you didn't. Man, plenty of recruiting news coming up. We'll hear from Greg Smith, HailVarsity.com and Magazine, on what happened with Mr. Parker. Lots of NFL to get into, and we say hi to Mr. Blackshirt Mondays with Charlie. Mr. Blackshirt, Charlie McBride. Coach, how we doing?
Oh, I'm having a good time.
You know,
I just went to the doctor. They're going to replace my shoulder while I'm out here just for a little vacation time. So
really? Well, can we send you something? Some ice,
no.
Some aspirin? a Husker sling?
They're just going to cut the whole arm off.
Well, you'll grow another one, right?
Know.
You're tough.
I know. Yeah, that's what they told me.
Well, I'm sorry. Are you?
That's great. I'm happy.
So you know what's been bothering you now? You just need a shoulder replacement.
Only about 18 years or 20 years it's bothered me.
Right. Well, you still bench more than most of the state. You know that.
No, not anymore.
But you did it one time. That's so good. Hey, how did you spend last night? What did you do for the Super Bowl?
I stayed with my son and my grandkids, his two sons. And one of them had his girlfriend and her mother over here, which was exciting. And watched the game, but mostly the women didn't bother us. Just David, myself, and one of the grandkids watched the whole game, and the other ones were all busy. talking.
So you had peace and quiet in football.
No. The thing was, is I had to slow down the people behind me because I couldn't even hear the TV.
Ah, I see.
That's difficult for women, though, isn't it?
I'm not going to comment on that one, my friend.
At the same time, I will. I'll comment. They don't talk at the same time, and they don't know how the heck they understand each other.
Yeah, that can happen, Coach. And I, my son went over to a buddy's. My wife stayed home, and I went over and saw a guy we both know, Nate. I ate some of his chicken wings, and then went over to Coach Brett's, and it was a lot of fun. The game wasn't, you know how this day and age is, where offense is what people want to see, but. I think I gotta say, you had to love last night, didn't you?
I loved every second of it, and I didn't care who won because we had guys on both sides of the ball, and that even made it better. Mm.
So, what did Belichick do? Break it down for me. You know Coach Belichick well. You've mentored.
You know,
go ahead.
He's had so many. So much to do with so many different things that I almost think he goes back in his encyclopedia sometimes and looks at some of the things. I know he never makes a decision of one thing he did in the past. It's all going to fit the quarterback's actions, especially on defense. Offensively, I don't think they changed their offense hardly at all, but I could tell.
Mm-hmm.
I noticed that they played a little man, went to more zone. The Rams went to a little more zone as the time went on. But as far as preparing, I think a lot of times you prepare for the quarterback and prepare for stop the run. And the thing with the quarterback is, how can we get to him? Which way, you know, who's the weak sisters in the line that we can pick on? I don't think it's like a rocket scientist thing. I really don't. And I think disguising their coverages probably is probably a big thing with a young quarterback.
Charlie McBride's with us, Hale Varsity Radio. Mondays with Charlie, we're talking Super Bowl and Belichick. Things I thought were interesting, Belichick would hang on and then at the appropriate time, through disguise, would send the house specifically on that interception that sealed things, Coach. And also, they were wonderful against the run. The Rams have not been the same team running the ball. Week 15, week 14 was kind of their peak, right? That's the last time they ran. And ran great. Yeah. Gurley wasn't running well, and he wasn't catching the football well. And the thing that I read about today that I want you to comment on is just what happens and the ability to make quarterback think versus just go play, because it looked like Belichick was running in two plays every play. And the Rams would be ready for one, and then they'd switch to another. The defense, the Patriots' defense would.
Yeah. Yeah, that's possibly right, you know. And a lot of times they'll do two plays. That's a big thing in everybody's offense, I think, in the NFL. And it may even be three in some cases if you have a real veteran team. You know, and they'll use numbers and they'll use different things for make it quick, a quick change. And I think a lot of times they'll do couple of things. If they have a certain coverage called, they may have an automatic blitz against a certain front, a certain, lineman. And they can check it according to, and the linebackers will learn all this kind of stuff. We'll learn the difference in what downs and distances they want to do it on.
Mm-hmm.
And so, because defensive and field tendencies have a big thing to do with, what a lot of these people do. And the one thing I knew that the Rams are good at is hitting the ball deep. And that's one thing that quarterback is pretty good at. I mean, he gets a little anxious at times and throws the ball all over the place sometimes when he gets pressure, but he'll learn, you know, to stand in there better. And, you know, he'll end up being a pretty good quarterback.
Charlie McBride's with us Mondays with Charlie Hale, Varsity Radio. Coach, I want to switch over to Sue for a minute. What do you think what do the Patriots do against Sue and Donald? And the Rams defense has nothing to be ashamed of. 13 points to that offense. Sue was really cranked up and was really getting penetration. I think they spent a lot of focus on him. What did you think? You know the offensive line well. I mean, too, you coached that at Wisconsin. So, tell me what New England did to Sue.
What they can do is in there depends on the front. If they get where Sue is in a gap, mm-hmm. alignment, and the other guy's not, the other alignment is not in the gap. Sometimes it'll be an automatic double team, you know, on them. And depending on the linebacker, they'll just shove the guy off depending on what side the linebacker's coming on the other guy. And if it happens that it sets the other way, the other guy will get double teamed on the other side if he's in the gap. And Sue would only be one-on-one, say, you know, unless he's got a back. And I think sometimes they had those bigger kids get in there, and I didn't look at it that close, but I noticed it at the end of the game. Delvin, and I think he was the one that kept in there the most.
Okay.
To do the, you know, as time went on. And a lot of times what they'll do is just check the side that they're not getting the double team on to help over there. And so they have so many different ways to block things that, you know, it's crazy. And what they'll do is they'll do some change, and those are the things you can change week to week. And those are the things that, you know, you think you're preparing for something that they do, and then all of a sudden they're not doing what we prepared for. And that's what we tried to do as when we were coaching. I mean, you know, and if somebody was picking up a blitz or something like that, we were able to change it quick and have the same coverage, but our people go in different gaps.
Charlie McBride's with us, Hail Varsity Radio, Mondays with Charlie. Coach, I want to switch gears and get your thoughts and reaction to Zach Taylor heading to Cincinnati, named the head football coach of the Bengals. What do you think?
Smart, young, and, you know, I think he's really a smart guy. I think that he knows the game. I think that he's probably not come right out and proven it because of time, but I think he's the kind of person that, you know, he'll relate, you know, good to those guys because he's been working with them. He knows mm-hmm. what to expect and things like that. But I think he's the kind of person that, you know, he's a leader, and that's where you start a lot of times with these guys. The hardest thing to do, I think, in a position that he's in, is maybe not knowing a lot of guys. I mean, I'm sure he knows a lot, but there's special guys you need to have on your staff, you know, and that's a big thing with a new coach, is be sure you get guys that, you know, are going to be compatible and things like that. That's a tough deal. But knowing that he's been going to be a possible head coach, I would be sure that he's talked to some people way before this would happen. And just say, hey, if I get this job, would you be interested in coming with me? You know, things like that. That's part of the norm, you know, with coaches, especially in the NFL, because that's just you know, the old saying, NFL's not for long. So, you know, and then guys off his staff will get jobs maybe on other, you know, head coach somewhere else. So they pretty much have a tough deal in the NFL, you know, replacing people. And that's where I think Belichick's really good. He knows people. He's been around a lot. He knows who he can ask and trust. And those things are so important. It's, you know, it's unbelievable. Yeah, the background you have, being a head coach, you know, at different teams, and you meet so many different people at those, and you get to know who the people are that are really your friends and guys that you can really trust by asking them about other people.
I want to ask you about Bill Callahan. As good an O-line coach as he is that, would that be weird for Callahan to go work for Zach? And the reason I bring it up is because Brian Callahan, Bill's son, is going to be Zach's offensive coordinator. Is that too much family in Cincinnati to go think about Bill? The reason I ask is because he's arguably the best O-line coach there is in the NFL.
Yeah, he's something else now. No, I tell you what. You know, it comes down to money.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a lot of that, it comes down to money and stuff like that. I don't know how Cincinnati is for paying guys, but I would guess that would be a good thing to have. You know, if he's got one that's on there
mm-hmm.
doing that stuff, then that's pretty good. I think they'd work together all well, and you know, if they didn't, it would squash them.
Sure. Coach,
excuse me.
No, you're fine. No, I was going to ask you, we got about a minute left or so, and thanks for giving us time. Nebraska has missed out on the last two kids they've tried to get at that outside linebacker spot, the pass rusher spot, for to end the recruiting class, to kind of wrap up the recruiting class. What's what is hard about kind of landing those pass rushers? You guys did such – I mean, you just stacked rush ends and outside backers on top of one another, but you made it look easier than it is.
Well, the one thing is that a lot of these kids may have been recruited by their schools from day one, mm-hmm. and I don't know that – You know, I don't know for a fact, but I think one or two of them, maybe one of them was, but I know some of them, they came in on late, and I read about some of the stuff were not late, but, you know, toward the end of the, right after the signing,
sure.
the early signing. And, you know, some of those guys are, you know, and they, what worries me now about it a little bit, the guys that kind of hang out.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of them are just, you know, I'm so good that I'm just going to wait to see what the deal is.
Gotcha.
I don't think it's going on a lot, but if I was going to not trust a conference or somewhere, I might not really trust the Southeast Conference for
sure.
How they, because I know it's a little. That's different than other people.
That's very diplomatic. Charlie McBride is with us, Hail Varsity Radio. Coach, get to feeling better with your shoulder, okay?
Sure. It'll be good.
And we'll talk to you next Monday, all right?
Well, what this means is when I go back to Michigan, I won't have to shovel snow for a while.
That's way to get out of it. I love it. You take
okay.
care. Get to feeling better.
Okay. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. Name. There he is, Mr. Blackshirt, Charlie McBride. Always the smile in that voice. Well, I don't have to shovel snow now. Hey. Well, good luck and God bless to Coach McBride. Greg Smith, we'll get a recruiting hit from Mr. Greg next on Hail Varsity.
And now, back to Hail Varsity Radio.
I'm happy to talk to Greg Smith, recruiting analyst, HailVarsity.com and magazine at Greg Smith HV. Greg, I didn't know your knee was messed up. Let's start there. I'm kidding. We'll get to that at the end of this discussion. Tell me about Junior Day. What happened?
Yeah, so it was a big event. Nebraska had plenty of 2020, some 2021 priority targets, and even a couple of 2022 targets in the house. And from the different guys that I talked to over the weekend, it seems like a good time was had by all. A lot of the guys got to spend time with their respective potential future position coaches, kind of going over techniques and ways that those guys like to coach and teach and train their guys, which I found kind of interesting. Especially I like to get the feedback from the defensive backs about how things went with Travis Fisher, because you know he can be kind of tough. So that was pretty interesting. But it sounds like things went fairly well just as an overall standpoint.
Some of the names that were impressed are who?
Oh, so you got to start with Turner Corcoran, the big four-star offensive tackle from Lawrence, Kansas. He was definitely impressed. I think his sixth visit to Nebraska since Scott Frost took over. Then there's an offensive tackle out of California that's about 6'7", 250. Jeffrey Percy came out from California with his parents and really liked what Greg Austin had to say, and had plenty of good things to say about his philosophies. There was a 2020 defensive end / outside linebacker, Nate Matlack, out of Kansas, Kansas City, I believe, that has a real familiarity with the Huskers, has some Husker fans in the family. Gabriel Rubio's a 2021 defensive tackle from just outside of St. Louis, who, now this was his second time on campus, and he really enjoyed his time here. So things seem to go, you know, pretty well for Nebraska overall.
Greg Smith's with us, HailVarsity.com and magazine at Greg Smith HV on Twitter. So some of the St. Louis kids did not make it up, correct?
Yeah, so there was a little bit of an interesting thing there, and it feels like this happens, and I almost said it to you when we talked, either was it, I can't remember if we talked on Friday or if it was on Saturday, I think it was on Friday, where for some reason St. Louis kids in the end coming to Nebraska seem to have all sorts of problems getting rides to Lincoln. And then sometimes what's happened in the past is people end up at Mizzou because you do have to drive past Mizzou to get to Lincoln, and I think that happened again this weekend where you had some kids. Like Kayvon Billingsley couldn't get a ride, but then there were a couple other kids. I know Mookie Cooper, the four-star running back, was one, and Reggie Love, I believe, too, ended up at Mizzou for their junior day, which is interesting in itself because it's coming off of the heels of Mizzou, you know, having their bowl ban and their stipulations and restrictions put on their recruiting. So I don't know if they made a strong push to try to get those kids in to see Mizzou before some of that stuff goes into effect, or maybe leaned out some high school coaches or what have you. But there were some kids that turned up at Mizzou instead of coming to Nebraska this weekend.
So you're telling me that, oh, I just got to stop and get a big gulp, or I got to go to the can, so we're going to stop in Columbia. And, oh, look, there's a Missouri coach. Is that...
It's such a strange thing. Like, and I mean, in a way, you know, I kind of get it because, yeah, you do have to drive by the school on your way here, and it's much closer. But it's just such a strange deal what's kind of happened with St. Louis recruiting for Nebraska. It just seems like something that can't really get off the ground. And I'm not saying that it's completely over by any stretch of the imagination for the 2020 class and beyond. But it's not a great start to the 2020 class to have that happen with some top priority targets that you were hoping to come out and really make an impression with.
Greg Smith's with us. Overall, though, the junior day was a success. There's probably a few more kids they'd like, but it's not like there's not more time to get them here, correct?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And one of the things that I was kind of struck by, I mentioned the kids being able to get some time with the different position coaches that learn their philosophies and how they teach. The other thing that kind of that came up with just about everyone that I talked to, I think everyone, is that Nebraska wants kids to come back for spring practices. Remember they did that last year, and we kind of noted that a little bit as guys were really excited about those up-tempo practices. And that's where a lot of that stuff was coming out from, is that kids are excited about that. So between that and the spring game, I think you'll see plenty of kids coming through here during spring ball and then, of course, during the spring game.
All right, there's your junior day update. Greg Smith, HailVarsity.com and magazine. What's up with Stephen Parker? Nebraska has missed now on their last two outside linebackers. I don't want to say missed, but they weren't picked. I'll just phrase it that way. And what happened with Parker?
So I actually think in the case of the last two guys, Dylan Jordan, Stephen Parker, I think it's fair to say that they did miss. I think they wanted both of those guys. It was not a, you know, it's popular for fans to say, oh, we cooled on a particular guy. That didn't happen in either one of these cases. But with Stephen Parker, everything was kind of a mystery leading up to the announcement. Basically, all anyone really knew coming into today was that he was going to announce today. Otherwise, we didn't know. We knew it was between basically Nebraska, Texas Tech,
who was previously committed to in Kansas. He went to visit Kansas this past weekend on an official visit. Had a previous relationship with one of the coaches on staff who was his lead recruiter at Texas Tech, is now on the Kansas staff, even though that coach will now be coaching wide receivers and will not be coaching Stephen Parker when he goes to Kansas. He picked KU. It feels to me like it was a familiar pick. You had someone on staff that you knew, and you kind of go with it that way. So it stings Nebraska in that way. But as you'll see in an article I have coming out here in a little bit, I think Nebraska will be okay with outside linebacker for the time being. Stephen Parker, while somebody that you wanted to be able to come in and help you down the road in the pass rush, he was not probably going to help you this year. If you're looking for help this year, you're looking at Caleb Tanner, Tyron Ferguson, JoJo Doman, maybe an Alex Davis comes along. There's a lot of David Alston. There's a lot of different guys that are already on campus that need to develop before you get to a 17-year-old kid.
That's very fair, and that's we were talking about that to start the show off a little bit and into the 440 segment, that it's not like Nebraska doesn't have options on the outside to go get the quarterback. They do, even a Colin Miller, and I know he's an inside guy, but I just think back to the Colorado game. He did a great job of getting after the quarterback. So moving forward here, you got Caleb Tanner, you got Fergie, who's a senior that needs to stay on the field. When he's on the field, he's a tackle for loss machine. Mm-hmm. Alex Davis is all bus team, right? I mean, he's big and physical and fast. And then you got Alston, the long-levered, long-armed, just defensive player of the year out of the state of Minnesota. He's had a year to redshirt.
Yep.
Nebraska's got dudes to go get the quarterback, don't they?
They do. And then they also, that's not even mentioning the guys that are already in the class that are slated to play outside linebacker. So Garrett Nelson is going to play outside linebacker to start his career at Nebraska. So is Jamin Graham. So there are more options. I believe there's like someone between 7 and 9 guys are on the roster already that are slated to play outside linebacker. I understand, though, where the angst from the fan base comes, though, because when you think 3-4 defense, you think outside linebackers getting after the quarterback, and Nebraska just hasn't had that in these last couple of years of the 3-4. So I get it. But you also have to take into the account that the big thing with this staff and with Zach Duvall and Dave Ellis is development. So if that's what this staff hangs their hat on, then we have to at least try and give them the benefit of the doubt a little bit, mm-hmm. to say that, hey, they can develop a couple of these, say, 9 outside linebackers that they have on the roster.
Well, I mean, they've done it everywhere they've been. They've been incredible at it. Look at Khalil Mack with where he was at Buffalo, and Khalil's an amazing player, and I know you're probably wearing a Khalil jersey right now. It's all good, but, I mean, that's Zach Duvall special, brother. I mean, it is, right? I mean, so it's been done, and you can get the best out of the players. They just need to get better at being bigger, stronger, faster. That's the end of the discussion after the Iowa game. That's the goal right now, right? I mean, they've got players. They just got to get bigger, stronger, and faster.
Yeah, and you don't want to have – the thing is, Nebraska eventually down the road, when Nebraska is really humming along the way that people hope that they do under Scott Frost, you're not going to want to see or have to rely on true freshmen to come in and play outside linebacker for you in the Big Ten. You're going to want it to be, say, a guy like David Alston has redshirted and maybe had another year of seasoning behind the scenes, and then he can come in and take over. That's what some of the better defenses around the conference are able to do, save for, you know, Ohio State, who gets, you know, a lot of freak athletes out there, and they're turning guys over that they're leaving early for the NFL. But that's closer to the formula that Nebraska's going to have to do. You're going to have to develop guys and really get them bigger, stronger, faster, and more comfortable in the defense before they can make an impact on the field.
Well, to your point, I mean, even with Ohio State, you look at Ohio State putting corners upon corners upon corners into the NFL. Those guys all redshirted, right? Or they were part-time guys as true freshmen, and I'm talking about the slew of silver bullets that went to the league the last 3 years.
Right.
That well finally dried up this year. It's not that they don't have NFL talent, okay? It's that these guys weren't as ready because people in front of them went to the league. They weren't ready yet, development-wise, to be as good as they've been in the past. So,
right, and I think we'll see fairly soon that, you know, we'll remember why a bunch of those guys were 4- and 5-star recruits.
Mm-hmm. No, absolutely. It's not like they're done. I'm just saying that some guys are more ready than others to come in, and by year 3 in the program, go play. You've put time in the weight room. You've developed. Now go do it on the field. And Nebraska's always been tremendous at development, and it's a priority with Coach Frost. Okay, Greg Smith is with us, HailVarsity.com, a magazine. I got to ask you a Lakers question. We got about 90 seconds here. What do you think Magic gets done here with AD and the Pelicans?
I am very cautiously optimistic that this deal is going to get done. But, boy, I can't lie and say that my heart didn't sink a little bit when you see just how many players it's going to take to get this thing done. Like, we're talking about 5-6 players and 2 first-round picks and taking back a bad contract from them in addition to AD. It's a high price, but that's a price you have to pay for a top-5 player in the league who is, what, 25 years old. You have to do it.
Okay, let's talk Wednesday. You'll be with me and Aaron Sorensen and the Hail Varsity 4-6 extravaganza down in the office. What to expect as we talk Monday here, about 15, 20 seconds? What do we expect Wednesday? Do we expect how many names?
I would expect one name. I think that Marion Houston looks pretty good for Nebraska, the wide receiver, four-star wide receiver out of Oklahoma City. Other than that, I think it'll be a fairly quiet day, but I think that he'll be a good get for the class. You still need wide receiver depth.
Okay, there we go. So Greg says one. Is there something pending maybe, like an outside backer, or are they just going to wait to grad transfer time?
I think the rest of that goes into grad transfer time, which will then roll into 2020.
Gotcha. Right, and you're not going to just give it away. I hear you. I got you. Greg Smith, follow him on Twitter, at GregSmithHV, and read him with HailVarsity.com. Greg, about 10 seconds. What's coming up here on .com, on HailVarsity.com from you?
Yeah, so we'll have the notebook coming up where I kind of, like I said, mentioned some more outside linebacker options that I think Nebraska have already on the roster, and then we'll start getting ready for signing day. It'll be a little bit quieter than December, but it'll still be a fun time at HailVarsity.com.
Awesome, man. Thanks so much for jumping on. Appreciate you.
Hey, thanks as always, man. Have a good day.
There he is, Greg Smith. Covered it all, recruiting and the Lakers.
Chime in, 402-466-ESPN, or email the show, chris@hailvarsity.com.
Just try me. Try me.
Back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Boy, that was clutch by Greg Smith on what's going on, and don't panic. Even though Stephen Parker and Dylan Jordan are needs, it'll be okay. For Nebraska fans, great to have you back. Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt and Mr. Colton Stone, 466-377-6800-825-5865. Good show today. Coach McBride was fantastic on breaking down New England and his take on Zach Taylor and recruiting that rush end spot. And be wary of not all kids, but some kids that are kind of holding out to the second part of the signing day session. Wonderful to hear from Jay Moore about his dear friend Zach Taylor getting the Cincinnati job. We've talked Super Bowl. We have gotten into what's gone on with Sue and people kind of lobbing complaints at him for the way he exited the field. Jay set the record straight on that, which is good. And you just heard from Greg Smith, a recruiting hit. Miss any part of the show, HailVarsity.com. We'll have the podcast up. And, yeah, it's interesting to check out the Twitter handles, either HailVarsity or at ESPN Lincoln, because some of the best audio highlights of the show will have snippets there. You want to hear from Jay Moore, want to hear from Greg Smith, want to hear from Coach McBride. It's all possible for you with the Twitter handles on Hail Varsity or, yes, on ESPN Lincoln. So I want to tell you about your friends at Madonna Proactive real quick, Madonna Therapy Plus. And Therapy Plus has the Run Well program designed to keep runners healthy and performing their best by getting to the root of problems. You know what? When you run, and I don't run, which may not shock anyone, but I do know folks that do run, and there can be issues with the heel, with the ankle, with the feet, with the toes. I mean, the Run Well program, something to think about. You can make an appointment today with the experts if you're having foot issues with running. I mean, marathon training is going on right now if you're going to run in the Lincoln Marathon or a regional marathon. Madonna Proactive is where you can get into shape. 56th and Pine Lake. Sign up in January and into this month. $39 a month for the first 6 months. Associate members, just $29 a month. Can give Madonna a ring. 402-420-0000. 140 weekly group fitness classes. One for everyone. Colton, dare we get into Nebraska basketball? Did you watch Saturday?
I did not, I think, for my own sanity, partially.
So, and where are you as a Nebraska basketball fan? Like, are you, you know what? Are we good with the effort, or are you just like, are you done? Because I think the vast majority of Nebraska, and it's a turnstile mm-hmm. bandwagon.
Well, because if they go win four games in a row, all of a sudden it's like,
hey, I loved you. I never left you.
I had hope.
Which
this
is
whole
crap.
Year. Right. Part of me thinks we're kind of that point in the season where they know guys won't be there next year. Like, the big name guys mm-hmm. may not be on the roster anymore. So the guys on the bench better play mm-hmm. because they don't have experience and they actually need bench
See,
play.
See, and
too.
If you're Tim Miles and you want to keep coaching in Lincoln, you're not going to play guys that aren't ready on the bench.
Exactly.
I mean, you've been getting great minutes from Thor. Love his energy. I loved what I saw.
And Tanner was big.
Yeah, Borchardt was just mm-hmm. 18 boards. I mean, he went Rodman. It
11
was
on
awesome.
The offense, too.
Yeah, I mean, 12 to 18. Nebraska showed some grit by kind of firing back and coming back. They were down 7-0, then they had a 10-0 spot. But you have your two seniors that are just mentally spent.
Mm-hmm.
And that can't happen. They need to be mentally more tough than they have been. But Glenn Watson's been a shell of himself.
Yeah.
And Glenn Watson, post-sophomore year, Glenn Watson is not even close to what he came into this program as. That's on coaching.
Well, and I don't mean necessarily that, like, obviously he's coaching for his job, and like, I just mean maybe someone off the bench playing well will spark the veterans to play better,
mm-hmm.
or it just gives you more options. And you know you have those options. It's just you didn't really have to reach into that pocket until Copeland is hurt, and then it was too late.
This is so unfair, but it's very apparent because it's armchair quarterbacking.
Yeah.
But the roster has been mismanaged from day one here.
Yep.
Okay. From year one, it's been mismanaged, and it's been covered up a little bit because you had an NCAA tournament year.
Mm-hmm.
You had the quick fix win now, where you went and your niche was transfers.
Yeah.
Okay. And their top 150 recruits recycled through. And what's it sustained you from a culture standpoint? It's always kind of been traveling. No pun intended. I mean, you've had guys
mm-hmm.
that are here and then they're gone 2 to 3 years. And you go with the transfer market versus recruiting somebody and then developing. And I, you know what, man, I don't have the right answer other than your kind of your foundational type guys or who. Well, it's Glenn Watson.
Mm-hmm.
Glenn's a 4-year guy. You have Roby that's a 3-year guy. Those are two guys. The other kids you've brought in to be 4 or 5-year kids have all left the program because you've gone transfer market and you get an Andrew White come in. And Andrew White was really good. You go get a Walt Pitchford mm-hmm. that was vital for you to make a tournament run. You go get Pettaway, obviously. So all those things are very real, and you've not from day one had the right mix, okay? You've not had the right mix of 4-year guys because they've not stayed,
mm-hmm.
and it's not balanced out with the transfers you've brought in to be the injection versus you've leaned on the transfers versus the 4-year guys. And it's always been like quicksand that's shifted.
Yeah. Well, and part of it, too, is that, I mean, you've gotten these splashes of talent. It's like, well, if
you've gotten lots of splashes of talent.
And if you think, like, if the right pieces get put in place, like, here it is, but then they're only there for a year or a year and a half, and then
you got to reload somehow.
And mm-hmm. then you don't have.
Which theoretically, it's supposed to buy you time to develop the younger guys.
Right.
But the younger guys never got developed here.
Exactly.
They just didn't. So I'm anxious to see what type of ball game Nebraska has against Maryland. They have one more in them to go knock off Maryland, finally get a win, get out of this bad mind space. Illinois is good enough to beat people. They're good enough to beat people at home. But the offense is just, it's a bleep show, and it's been that way. There's no motion. I mean, I don't know if the tipping point this year was when he called them soft. I don't know if the tipping point this year was Michigan State, where they thought if they won it, they're in. So the pressure has made them cave. I don't know if he's just lost his team. I mean, they still played hard to win, but that's some of that self-pride. I mean, maybe you could add Borkart in the lineup. These are all armchair quarterback, easy to cut the guy and kick the guy when he's down. But Nebraska's a joke right now. It started out with high expectations, and right now Rutgers is in front of you. We'll wind down a Monday next.
Miss us?
Come here, brother. Give me a hug. Bring it in for the real thing.
We're on call for you. Catch the podcast at HailVarsity.com, the ESPN Lincoln app, or download them on iTunes.
Saddle up, partner.
Back to Hail Varsity Radio.
In the biggest moments when we had to play our best football and compete the hardest, they did it. Again, I can't say enough about them. The coaching staff, Brian Flores, Josh McDaniels, Joe Judge, and all the rest of the staff. Certainly our conditioning, Moses Cabrera and the strength conditioning staff. I mean, just they all did a great job. It was a great team win.
That it was for the New England Patriots. Rex Burkhead, Rexy getting his ring. Good stuff today. If you missed any part of the show with Hail Varsity, you're easily welcome to log on. The podcast is going to be posted, hailvarsity.com, or get to iTunes, take us with. I got texted by Junior. He wants to go to the gym, so I may get a workout in at Madonna. He may be working on that three-point shot. Shot fake, Junior. Shot fake. Reminder about buckling up. Do you want the seatbelt or the windshield to stop you? Seatbelts prevent excessive injury when your vehicle or your body need to slow down in a hurry. So that applies to the driver's seat, passenger seat, or back seat. Buckle up now, click it, or ticket a message from the Nebraska Department of Highway Safety Office. We have a special guest tomorrow. He's not really a guest. He's the man. Jeremiah Searles, our favorite Buffalo Bill, co-hosting tomorrow. We will be excited to talk football with him for all 2 hours. It's big time. And then we're down in the rail yard in the Hail Varsity offices on Wednesday for signing day. So that'll be good. What'd you eat for the Super Bowl?
I had some buffalo chicken dip.
Did you look that up, or is that like a staple that Colton Stone?
I just rolled into some guy's house that had it.
So you did the same thing I did.
Yeah.
I mean, I had cocktail shrimp. I figured that they were going to make fun of me. Uncle Nate and Ashley were going to pile on me because I crushed it. I ate like cocktail shrimp. Mm-hmm. Those are awesome, right? I mean, those are so good. He did some sort of crock pot here with sausage and apple.
Okay.
And sauerkraut and brown sugar. It was incredible. I had chicken tortilla soup and Maker's Mark. It's wonderful.
Yeah, I kind of stuck to the beer diet for the game.
Did you? So. Then I went to Uncle Brett's, or not Brett's. He's not Uncle. God, he's going to disown me. Coach Brett's, and they had fried Oreos.
Oh.
I mean, they had.
Now, that's interesting.
They were.
Because I've looked up how to do them at home, and I don't know if I trust myself.
Right.
Because I've tried to fry things at home. Because
one of the like most Googled recipes was the buffalo chicken dip.
It's incredible.
Was it better than the 7-layer taco dip? See, that's a tough call.
If we're doing like a bracket of dips, then that might be a 1-versus-1 in the final.
Nothing tops Skull Mint, but, that's its own category.
Wrong dip. Yeah.
Sorry about that one. We'll see how things shake out. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for spending time. Colton, I'll have stuff up on Twitter for you, and everything will be posted. New England and Rexy are champions. Maybe next time for Sue. Good stuff from Greg Smith on recruiting. what happened with Stephen Parker. He's off to play for the Mad Hatter down in Lawrence. Enjoy your Monday. And we'll be back with you tomorrow at 4 on Hail Varsity, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Thanks.